الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكافى الله إن شاء الله ولكن إن بوسيبل وأوسع أوسع وأكثر كوميونيكيشن إن الله أكثر تأخير إن شاء الله تعالى شاطرين وتأخري من ديس مختايتو عمدة الأحكام أو الحافظ عبد الغني المكي. Today is the third day of the month of Dhul Qa'dah 1443, which is equivalent to the third of June as well, 2022. In our last class, we were discussing about when Kitab al-Iman on the book, that is the book of oath and vows. We took the first hadith, or the first and second hadith, under this section. And so today we'll go to the fourth hadith, which is the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab. Radiallahu anhu ta'ala. Umar ibn Khattab, the Allah is Jesus Christ, said, Ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, Inna Allah yanhaakum an tahlifu bi abaikum. That Allah, verily Allah prohibits you from swearing by your father. Allah prohibits you to swear by your father. ولمسلم in the narration of Muslim is that فَمَنْ كَانَ حَالِفًا فَلْيَحْلِفْ لِلَّهِ. Whoever wants to swear an oath, let him swear by Allah. أو ليسمو or it's just required. وفي روايته in other narration, قال عمر said, فوالله ما حلفت بها. Say, I swear by Allah, I never swore by him. Meaning, I never swore by my father. منذ سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ينهى عنها. Since the time I had the message of Allah from the beginning. ذاكرا ولا آثرا. ذاكرا ولا intentionally ولا آثرا. Or whether I am quoting somebody. يعني حافيا عن غيري أنه محلف بها. That's when I'm quoting on that thing that the person swore by his father. So I didn't deal with myself and I never quoted somebody doing it. That's what I was trying to say. This hadith makes it very clear that it is prohibited in Islam to swear by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith specifically mentioned swearing by our father, which is actually covered any other thing at all that you swear by. Okay? In Islam, if you must swear, then you must swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Prophet said, "Man kana halifan falyahlif billah." Whoever wants to swear, let him swear by Allah. So when you hear him say, I swear by my father, I swear by my mother, or when you say, I swear by the grave of my father, I swear by the grave of my mother, all this is wrong. So right, all this is against the teachings of Islam. Okay, we don't swear by anything except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we swear by his attributes. So you can swear by the Quran, for example. Okay, because the Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's permitted to swear by the Quran, permitted to swear by Allah. Okay? But you cannot swear by any other thing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the creator of everything, has the right to swear by whatever he wants. And that's why in the Quran, Allah swore by so many creations. Isn't it? Allah swore by the sun, it was shams. Allah swore by the moon, it was qamar. Isn't it? Allah swore by the time, it was akhir. Okay, so Allah swore by so many things. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has the right to swear by whatever he wants. Okay? Whenever Allah swore by anything, he is not swearing by it because he wants to show that that thing, because he's worshiping that thing. So Allah is swearing by all those creatures to draw our attention, okay, to the greatness and importance of those things. All right? When Allah swore by time, one other, it will draw our attention that time is very important in our life. We shall be held responsible for all the time that we spend on the surface of the earth. So don't waste your time. Okay? When Allah swore by the sword, Allah is drawing our attention to the greatness of this creation. I used to say, as scholars used to say, the greatness of every creation indicates the greatness of the creator. Okay? So when you look at the sun, how great it is, you realize that Allah who created it is greater. So Allah swore by so many things not to draw our attention to those things that we learn from it. But we as his servants, we have no right to swear by anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what the hadith is telling us. The next hadith is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Hurairah writes that the Prophet said, that all of Sulaiman ibn Dawood, alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Sulaiman, the son of Prophet Dawood, may Allah be pleased with both of them. He said one day, Prophet Sulaiman said one day, La akufanna al-laylata ala tis'ina mra'atan. He said, I will go around 90 women. What he means by I will go around, meaning I will have intercourse with 90 women. He had several wives, Prophet Sulaiman. So he will say that I will go around 90 women this night. Then he will go around 90 women this night. Each of them will give birth to a child. Meaning, if I have intercourse with 90 of them, each of them will become pregnant and she will give birth to a male child. You can't choose to believe that that male child will fight to the cause of Allah. So he had a good intention. Okay? He wanted 90 women to give birth to 90 children who will grow up and become people who will fight to propagate Islam. Fakil Alamu, when he made this statement, you know, when he said, La Akufanna, it means I swear, because Islam, La Akufanna is Islam in Qatar. It's like saying, I swear I will do this. So when he said that, Fakil Alamu, they said to him, Qul Insha'Allah. Say Insha'Allah, if Allah wins. Because it's something that is not in your hands, isn't it? If Allah will create, no woman can conceive without the permission of Allah. So they said to him, Qul Insha'Allah, say Insha'Allah. Follow me, Qul, but he didn't say. Alright, he kept quiet. He said, For all of the Prophet said, he went around those two men. Follow me, said, in Hunna, no one among them. Give birth. Illa mra'atun wahida, except just one woman. And even that woman, nisfa isa, she gave birth to half of a human being. Then she had miscarriage. You understand? So he did not achieve his aim. And he's the prophet of Allah. Okay? Why? Because he has said something that is outside his power. He's a human being. Allah alone who can grant children. That's why Allah says one. Lillahi mulku as-samawati wal ardh sayyahu ma yasha. Yahabu liman yasha'u inasan wa yahabu liman yasha'u al-dhukur. Aw yuzawwijuhum dhukrana wa inasa wa yaj'alu man yasha'u aqima. That's what Allah says. Allah says yakhluqu ma yasha'u. Allah creates whatever he wishes. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. He grants female children to those he wish. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ ذُكُورًا. He grants male children to those he wish. أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. Why he combines both male and male to whoever he wish. He said, وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. He renders barren whoever he wish. Okay? So, he did not achieve his goal. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. The Prophet said, لَوْ قَالَ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. If he had said إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ, then yakhnath, he will not have violated his vow. He has made a vow. I will go down 90 women and they will give birth. But it didn't occur. So he violated the vow. The Prophet said, if he had said inshallah, he wouldn't have violated that vow. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ دَرَاكًا لِحَاجَتِهِ. And that will help him to achieve his desire. He said, قَالُوا قِيلَ لَهُ قُلْ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ. When they said, somebody said to him, say إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ. The يَعْنِي يَتْخَلَّمُ الْمَلَكِ. It was an angel that even told him to say this. He said, if you say إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ, he didn't say. So this hadith is also emphasizing the need to swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you swear to do something that is not within your power, then it's better to say insha'Allah. Okay? So that when you say insha'Allah and that thing did not perform, then there will be no need for you to look afar. Or if, like we said last week, you swear to do something and then you didn't do it, there's kafara, isn't it? There's explain for it. So, but when you say insha'Allah, then there will be no kafara on you. And also saying insha'Allah helps you to be able to achieve your goal, because it means that you have surrendered everything to Allah, and that will assist you in making sure that that thing is achieved. That's what the Prophet said, لَوْ قَالَ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ لَمْ. If he has said insha'Allah, he will follow the law. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ دَرَّاكَنْ بِحَاجَةِ. And that will help him to achieve his desire, his need. Okay? So what we swear by anything that we did as long within our heart, then we must say insha'Allah. And we must not compete with Allah, all right, in things that are exclusively the right of Allah. You can see Prophet Sulaiman, he is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so many powers. Okay, there was no any prophet, I mean the prophet of Allah, that had the kind of power that Prophet Sulaiman had. He used to command the breeze, he used to command the deer, he talks to animals. Alright, he was a king that there will never be anything like him again. You get it? Yes, Allah wanted to show him that he has limitations. You get it? So everybody must know that he has limitations. He was not improved on the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what they need to tell you. The next hadith is the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم message of Allah says, من حلف على يمين صبر, whoever swear an oath, يمين صبر, an oath of insistence. Okay? An oath that you use to insist on something which you know that is not true. That's what we mean by yemin sabr. Alright, they call it sabr because you persevere, you are patient in insisting on that thing, even though you are telling lies. Okay? So we call it yemin sabr in Arabic. So whoever swears an oath of insistence, why? He says, يَفِتَتِعُ بِهَا مَا لَكُمْرِئِ الْمُسْلِمِ. In order to take away the wealth of a fellow Muslim brother who was being her virgin while he is doing it out of wickedness and wrongdoing. لَبِي اللَّهُ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ رَضْمَانِ. Such a person will be among their judgment while Allah is angry with him. وَنَزَلَتْ. Then Allah revealed the verse in the Quran. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَيْمَانِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Allah says verily, those who buy with the covenant of Allah and their oath, they buy a very small price, ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ لَا صَلَاةَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Such people, they have no share in the hereafter. And that's what Allah says. In fact, Allah does not stop there. He says, وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah will not talk to them on the day of judgment. وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah will not even look at them. وَلَا هُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And they will have a severe punishment. Because you are swearing by Allah in order to claim what is not your own. You get it? So this is very, very wrong. Unfortunately, today, if you go to the court, you will see Muslims. Somebody will come to the court claiming before the judge what he knows is not true. And before he makes the statement, he will be asked to swear. He will carry the Quran and he will swear. And he knows that he is telling lies. Because there is no fear of Allah. Okay? There is no fear of Allah. Whoever swears, insisting on a right and he knows that he got his right, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be angry with the person. And on the day of judgment, the person will be exposing himself to a severe punishment. So it's wrong for somebody to do such a thing in Islam. The next hadith is the hadith of Al-Ash'ath bin Qais. Qala, he said, كان بيني وبين رجل مسلمة. He said, there was a dispute between me and Iman. في بئر أرساني a well. They were disputing over the ownership of a well. فاختصمنا إلى رسول الله. So we took our dispute to the Messenger of Allah to settle up. فقال رسول الله, the Messenger of Allah now said to him, شاهداك أو يمينه. It's either you present two witnesses to support your claim, because he is the claimant, he's not making a claim, he's the plaintiff. appointed shahidana. You Ash'ab bin Qais, he said that you come with two witnesses. Aw yaminuhu, or he will swear. Okay? So that the Prophet said in another hadith, Al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i, isn't it? Wal yamin ala man anka. Whoever is making the claim, he is the one that will be asked to bring the evidence. The person that is denying will only be entitled to just take an oath and say no, he has no right upon me, that's all. For you that say, I have right upon him, it is you that will be asked to present your evidence. So the Prophet is telling him, bring two witnesses, or he will swear for you. Kultu, Ash'ab said, فَإِذَا يَحْلِفُ وَلَا يُبَالِي. So I know this man, he doesn't care, he will just swear, he doesn't care. Meaning, he tries to say that this man he doesn't have the fear of Allah. If that's all you can do for me, he's not able to swear, that means he will just swear for me now, and that's all, he will take away my word. When he said that, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ the Messenger of Allah now said, مَنْ حَلَفَ عَلَىٰ يَمِينِ صَبْرٍ. Whoever swear an oath of insistence, يَبْتَفِعُ بِهَا مَالٌ مُرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ. In order to take away the wealth of a Muslim, who are فِيهَا فَاجِرٍ, while he knows that he is doing this wickedly and unjustly, لَكِي اللَّهُ وَهُ عَلِمِي رَضْبَانٍ. So the person will meet Allah while Allah is angry with him. So nobody should think that you can just swear an oath in the presence of the judge and you take another person's right. This is trying to tell us that the ruling of the judge does not make halal what is haram, and it does not make haram what is halal. If you go before a judge in the court and you are claiming what is not yours, and the judge rules based on the evidence available, the judge rules that I have a rule that you are the owner of this thing. If truly you are not the owner, that will not make that become halal for you. You are still in haram. Okay? So the ruling of the judge does not make halal or haram. And that's why the Prophet is telling his companion that if you don't have evidence, I have nothing I can do for you again. As far as the Sharia is concerned, who ask the man to swear. But let him know that if he is wrong, then he is eating haram. Okay? So that's what the hadith is telling us. The hadith also shows that the minimum witness required for you to make any claim before the court is two witnesses in the Sharia. Okay? Two witnesses. So you must present two witnesses to make any claim in the Sharia. That is two male. Okay? And it has to do with one conversion. You either have two male or one male and two women. It will be accepted as well. The next hadith is hadith of Thabit ibn al-Dhahhak al-Ansari. أنه بايع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تحت الشجرة. He said he was among those who paid allegiance to the Messenger of Allah under the tree. Alright, it's called بيعة رضوان. That is the allegiance of رضوان. This happened in the 6th year after Hijrah. It's through the treaty of Hudaybiyah. Okay, Allah says that all those who paid allegiance to the Prophet in that particular instance, Allah is pleased to them. Allah says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Allah says, indeed, Allah is pleased with the believers when they were being allegiance to you, the Prophet, under the tree. Okay? So this companion said that he was among those who did that. وَأَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ. He said that, verily the message of Allah said, مَنْ حَلَفَ عَلَىٰ يَمِينِ بِمِلَّةِ غَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Whoever swears an oath with a religion other than the religion of Islam, kadiban, while he knows that he is telling lies, muta'abbidan, doing that intentionally, fa huwa kama qala, then it will be as he has said. Wa man qatala nafsahu bi shay'in udhiba bihi yawm al-qiyamah. Whoever kills himself using any instrument, then that instrument will be used to punish him on the day of judgment. وليس على رجل نظر فيما لا يملك. A man has no right to make a vow concerning what he does not confess. وفي رواية in all narration of this hadith, the Prophet says, ولعن المؤمن كقتله. Causing a believer is like killing him. وفي رواية in other narration also the Prophet says, من ادعى دعوة كاذبة وذن makes a false claim ليتكثر بها. In order to enrich himself, لم يزده الله إلا قلة. Allah will not increase him in anything except reduction. This hadith has a number of rulings. Number one, if for any reason you swear that you are on another religion, that's what there is saying. On halafa ala yaminin bi millati ghayri al-islam. You swear that you are a Christian, for example, or you swear that you are a Jew, or you swear that you are an idol worshiper. You are doing it intentionally. You are a Muslim, but because you want to gain any favor somewhere, say, I'm not a Muslim, I'm this and that. Then فَهُوَ كَمَا قَالَ. From that point, you are out of Islam. It will be as you have just said. Do you understand? This is different from when your life is in danger. Okay? The kuffar want to kill you and you don't swear that you are not a Muslim. Here, you are excused. Okay? Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ أُخْرِيَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنُّ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Allah says, just as happened to Ammar ibn Yasir when he was asked to insult the Prophet. Otherwise they will kill him, and he insulted the Prophet. Okay, he came to the Prophet and was crying, and the Prophet said to him, the Prophet asked him, how do you find your mind when you were feeling? He said, wallahi, my mind is full of yaqeen and iman. The Prophet said, no problem. In fact, the Prophet said, if they catch you again, they ask you to insult me, no problem. Look at this. But here we're talking of somebody who is swearing to be on another religion of Islam because of what they make, what we gain. Maybe you go to an official contract. They say, don't give this contract except to someone who is passing a particular business. They say, what time is that? That's the reason. So I don't give you the contract. If you say so, you are out of Islam. You are gone. Okay? The process for who are the so we must be careful. We must not swear to be on another religion other than Islam just because we want to make what they gain. Then the hadith says, وَمَنْ قَبْلَ نَفْسَهُ بِشَيْءٍ أُذِبَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This shows that if you say it's not to take your soul. Okay? And that's because that soul could be ideal in a tahmika. Alright? Don't use your hand to comfort yourself. Okay? So you have no right to commit suicide. Suicide is haram in Islam. Whoever commits suicide, Allah will use that instrument that you use in committing suicide to punish him in hellfire on the day of judgment. Okay, so don't take your life for any reason. When you see people taking their life, it's because of lack of iman. Alright, they have no faith. Otherwise, they will. If you have faith, your faith will be like a shock of cover to help you to be able to withstand any challenge in life. Okay, you will surrender to Allah. So suicide is haram in Sharia. Then the Prophet said, وَلَيْسَ عَلَى رَجُلٍ نَذْرٌ فِي مَا لَا يَمْلِكُ. A man has told us to make a vow concerning what he does not possess. Okay? You know, when we say what vow is last time, a vow means to say that if Allah does something for me, I will do this. Okay, that was made by vow. Okay, another. Okay? For example, somebody will say that if Allah assists me to get a job, I will fast 50 days. Or if Allah assists me to get a job, I will do sadaqa with this food. Okay, so whenever Allah fulfills your desire, then it becomes obligatory for you to fulfill the vow. Now, what if somebody makes vow like this one now? I say, oh Allah, if I'm able to get this job, I'm going to do sadaqa with this phone, and I'm not doing it before. Is it possible like that? Alright, I'm not doing it before. So why would I make a vow with something and another one? So the Prophet said that if you make a vow what you does not possess, then that vow is not void. Not avoid in Sharia. Okay, so you cannot make a vow with what you do not possess. So the vow is not avoid. There are few why I say Allah in moment has been me. Alright, causing a believer is like killing him. Islam has prohibited us from hurting one another or from abusing one another. Okay? You must protect your tongue from abusing one another. Then he said, when it's da'wah kadhibatan, yatakassara biha. Whoever makes a false claim not to enrich himself, enrich himself, lam yazidhu Allahu illa qilla. Allah will not increase him in anything except reduction. So the more he tries to do that, the more Allah will force him to be recording more in his life. So that's what I mean. Then the next hadith is Babu Nuzul. This chapter is specifically dedicated to vow, making a vow. Okay, just like I said, a vow means someone to say, if Allah does something for me, I will do so and so. Making a vow in the Sharia is disliked, even though it is permissible. Okay, it is permissible, but it is disliked because the Sharia does not encourage it. okay, as we shall see in the hadith that we read now. It is black. But whenever a person makes a vow, it becomes obligatory upon him to fulfill the vow. Okay? It becomes obligatory upon him to fulfill. If you don't fulfill it and you die, Allah will monitor you over it. And that's why Allah describes the believers. Say, you puna bin nazar, wa yakhafuna yawma kana sha'uhu mustatira. Right? You puna bin nazar. The believers are those who fulfill their vow. Okay? So, when you make a vow, you will fulfill, but it is like, it's not encouraged in this area. The first hadith is the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu qala, he said, O Ya Rasulullah, I said, O Messenger of Allah, إِنِّي كُنْتُ نَذَرْتُ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ أَنْ أَعْتَكِفَ لَيْلَةً. He said, I took a vow during the time of Jahiliyyah, even before I started Islam, that I will observe itikaf for one night. I will observe itikaf. We all know itikaf, we explained itikaf here before. Alright, that is spiritual seclusion in the mosque for the worship of Allah. He said he made a vow to observe itikaf. Alright, in another narration, he said, of the riwayah, Yawman, the Muslim Haram. I made a vow to observe itikaf for one day in the mosque of Haram, like the mosque of Kaaba in Mecca. Allah requested to him, but how he does it. That is the Prophet said, fulfill your vow. Even though this vow was made even before he accepted Islam, okay, the Prophet said, they have made an obligation for you, then you still have to fulfill, but you will fulfill it in the Islamic way. Then he was in the period of Jahiliyyah, he made a vow to make itikaf in the Masjid of Haram, in the Kaaba Mosque. Those days they were worshiping idols. Like I once said, yeah, before Islam, there were 750 idols inside Kaaba. So after the conquest of Islam, the conquest of Mecca, that the Prophet destroyed all those Kaaba. So when they do itikaf, that time they are doing it to worship those idols. But now the Prophet is saying he should fulfill the vow when he's going to dedicate his worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Kaaba. So this hadith shows that if a non-Muslim makes a vow to do something before Islam, even after accepting Islam, if that thing does not contradict Islam, then he will still be required to fulfill it. But if it contradicts Islam, then he cannot fulfill it. If a non-Muslim now made a vow, said, I have made a vow that I will do sadaqah with one grain of beer, if I should achieve so and so. Then before doing it, he accepted Islam. I will tell him to go and fulfill the vow, he will say no way. Alright, because you don't make sadaqah with us, haram in Nigeria. He will say, do sadaqah, but not with beer, not with beer. Alright, you can buy one grain of mineral and do sadaqah with you, but not one grain of beer. Okay, so that's it. When you make a vow before Islam, even after Islam, the vow is there, but it will be fulfilled according to the teachings of Islam. Scholars also use this hadith to show that one can observe itikaf without fasting. This issue we discussed this one while discussing the chapter of fasting. Okay, because of this hadith. When he said, I have made vow to observe itikaf in the night, once at Layla. You know, if you go to observe itikaf in the night, you don't fast at night. The night is time for eating. You fast in the afternoon. So scholars say that means that it's permissible to observe itikaf even when one is not possible. Fasting is not the condition for observing itikaf. The next hadith is the hadith of Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu anhu. عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه نهى عن النذر عن النذر. So the Prophet has prohibited making vows, like I said. The Prophet prohibited people from making vows. وقال, the Prophet said, إن النذر لا يأتي بخير. Making vows does not bring any good. وإنما يستخرج به من البخيل. It is only used to extract acts of worship from a greedy person. You know, when you make a vow, you are making obligation upon yourself what Allah has not made obligation upon you. So the Prophet is saying, there is no need for you to put a burden on yourself. The one that Allah put on you, you haven't even finished it. Why would you want to add another one to yourself? Okay? So the Prophet is saying that don't do it. That ordinarily it is only a greedy person that makes a vow. Do you know why? Because ordinarily a believer does not need to make a vow before he carries out after worship. You know, you are like bargaining with Allah now. If I get this, this I will do this. So you are bargaining. So if Allah does not give you, you will not do it. You understand? That's why the point is saying that any more you start from being a bakhil. It's only a greedy person that needs to do well. Because a true believer does not need well. Whether Allah fulfills your desire or not, you will still worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't need to make it a bargain and say, unless Allah does it for me, before we do, I will observe social act of worship or do social act of sadaqah. So that's why the Prophet said that it's not encouraged to make vows in Sharia. But once you do it, it becomes obligatory, you have to fulfill it. So it is the attitude of greedy people. The next hadith is that of Uqba bin Amir, قال he said, فَنَذَرَتْ أُخْتِي أَنْ تَمْشِيَ إِلَى بَيْتِ اللَّهِ الْحَرَامِ حَافِيَةً. Uqba bin Amir said, my sister made a vow to trek, to walk, إِلَى بَيْتِ اللَّهِ الْحَرَامِ. From Medina, she said she's going to trek to Haram in Mecca. حَافِيَةً بِيَكُتَةً. So, now she has made a vow, she has made something difficult upon herself. Now she cannot do it again. So, she said, فَأَمَرَتْنِ أَنْ أَسْتَرْتِيَ لَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. She now commanded me to go and consult the Prophet and ask the Prophet, is there any way out of this problem now? Therefore, she said to me, he said, so I went and asked the Prophet, I asked for fatwa from the Prophet on this matter. But Allah, the Prophet now said, لِشَمْشِي, let her go. Alright, let her go. When it comes, but let her take a ride. Okay? Yes. Don't put one out for yourself when Allah comes to follow you. You get it? So since she has made a vow to go to the mosque of Haram to observe and act of worship, this is something good in the Sharia. Fine. Okay? Let her fulfill the vow. But saying that you must do that here today, walking, this one, Allah is not going to benefit anything in you, punishing yourself. Okay? So that's what I said. He said, let her go. Okay, but on a tarakab, let her go on a ride. That's easier for her than subjecting herself to punishment by trekking the officer from Medina in a hot sun, hot desert, up to Medina. Allah is not in need of that. Okay, so when a person makes a vow to do things that are not acts of worship, those things are null and void. That's what the hadith tracks tell us. If somebody comes and says, I have made a vow today that I will not talk to anybody, but I will remain silent and punish it easy, what's Allah going to benefit from your silence? Because just like the Prophet once saw a man standing in the sun. He was standing in the sun. He said, what's wrong with this man? He said, he told him something, he has made a vow to fast. That's one. Two, he has made a vow to remain standing in the sun. And he will not stay in the shade. The Prophet said, tell him, let him leave the sun. Allah is not in need of him standing in the sun. Let him sit down. Allah is not in need of him standing. And let him complete the fast. Okay? It is the fasting that can act of worship. But if standing is all, what are you doing? It's rubbish. Okay? So it's very like, tell him to leave the fast. And let him to sit down. Let him to complete the fast. So when you make a vow to do things that are not act of worship, things that are of no use, then it becomes null and void in the Sharia. The next hadith is hadith of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, annahu qala, he said, istafta Sa'd bin Ubadah. The Sa'd bin Ubadah sought fatwa from the Prophet. Fi nazri kana ala ummihi, concerning a vow that was upon his mother. His mother made a vow to do something, but to wufiyat qabla an taqdiyahu, she died before she could fulfill the vow. So now she has died. She has made something obligatory upon her assets, but before doing it, she died. What will now be the situation? But Allah Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah now said, first be he and her. You go and fulfill it on her behalf. Okay? So this hadith shows that if a person makes a vow to do something and he will not fulfill it before the person dies, then his relative can fulfill it on his behalf. But scholars say, it must be something that there can be representation in it. Okay? You know, in the Sharia, there are acts of worship that you can do on behalf of somebody. There are acts of worship that you cannot do on behalf of other people. So, for example, if a person, like another, somebody came to the Prophet and said, my mother made a vow to observe her, for she died before they killed her. The Prophet said, go and observe the heart. because it's permitting to observe night for their company. Okay? If somebody, you can pass on their company as well. As Prophet said, مَمَّاتَ وَعَلِيْهِ سِيَمْ صَمْعَنُ وَلِيُّ. So supposing your brother or your father or your mother makes a vow to pass, and the person will not pass, if the person dies, then you can pass on his behalf. But supposing somebody made a vow to observe two rakats of nawafil, and the person died before observing the two rakats of nawafil, can you do it on his behalf? We say no. Right? Because you don't observe salat from their suffering in Islam. Do you understand? Or somebody made a vow to say La ilaha illallah 1,000 times, then the person dies before saying it. So everybody will say it by himself. Okay? So when we say that you can fulfill a vow out there of somebody, it must be something that can there can be representations in it. Otherwise it will not be permissible. Now the next hadith is the Ka'b ibn Malik Qala. The Qul ya Rasulullah. Ka'b ibn Malik said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, إن من نوبتي أن أنخلع من مالي صدقة إلى الله وإلى رسوله. He said, إن من نوبتي, part of my repentance is that أن أنخلع من مالي, is that I should forfeit my wealth, my money, صدقة إلى الله, as صدقة to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وإلى رسوله, as صدقة to his messenger. فقال رسول الله the messenger of Allah said, أمسك عليك بعض مالك, hold on to part of your money, don't just collect out all your money, فهو خير لك, that's better for you, cannot give up everything, you don't have to do it, but don't take care of the company. Ka'b ibn Malik, what is he talking about? He's actually talking about an incident that happened to Ka'b ibn Malik. Ka'b ibn Malik was among some three companions who did not follow the Prophet out to the battle of Tabuk. Okay? They didn't go out for the battle of Tabuk without any valid excuse. And it's not as a result of the Prophet, you know, only that he didn't go. But he had no valid excuse not to go. So the Prophet became angry with him when the Prophet responded back. The Prophet excommunicated him, not talking to him. And he commanded the companions to excommunicate him as well. The fear of them. So nobody was interacting with them again in Medina. They stayed like that for almost 50 days, being excommunicated by the Muslim community. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to us in the Surah At-Tawbah, where Allah said that he has accepted their repentance. So he was happy. Alright? So he was saying now to the Prophet that he as part of great appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for giving him his sin, he wants to do sadaqah with all his wealth. Okay? Before he says, no, don't do sadaqah with all your wealth, because that's not good. You have to keep something for yourself and for your family. That's why the Prophet said, أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ بَعْضَ مَالِي. Hold on to part of your money. وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ. Better for you. You can do sadaqah with half of your money, or let's say one third of your money. Okay? Or to unless it's in front of your body. So you cannot do sadaqah with the entire money. Okay? So keep something for yourself, take care of yourself and your family. That's what we are doing. Very well. Can we stop here? Stop here? So inshallah we'll stop here. Next week, inshallah, God willing, we'll go to Kitab al-Kaaba. Alright, this chapter will talk about settling issues, okay, adjudication in the Sharia. May Allah follow water and increase of knowledge. Whatever was satisfied, may Allah reward us. Whatever was wrong, may Allah forgive us. Subhanallah, we can be the Salah in the Anta, as the people of today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There are questions or taking questions before the Salah. Any questions?
I'm a user of the law. So,
vowel must be expressed. Alright, so if it is demand, it's not expressed, it's not considered as a vowel. Okay? Vowel must be expressed. Allahu alam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.